Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Happy Easter! This week we have two sitcom episodes that revolve around Easter parties. Chester Riley faces off with a giant bunny in his garden in this episode of The Life of Riley. Giant Bunny, first broadcast March 27th, 1948 on NBC.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Prell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Over the garden of Chester A. Riley's California bungalow, darkness has fallen. Darkness and silence. In the blackness of the backyard, our hero Riley stands. A solitary figure, alert and watchful. Waiting. Waiting. Ah. What's that? Footsteps on the gravel path. And now the fearless Riley grows tense. The footsteps come closer, closer. Suddenly, Riley leaps forward. Now I got you. No use struggling. You may be bigger than me, but I ain't afraid of you.
Oh, Riley! Let go of me.
Conklin. It's you.
Where?
Oh, it's a good thing you yelled out when we started the fight. Otherwise, I might have got hurt.
Oh. Riley, what's the big idea scaring the wits out of people? What are you doing out in the garden this time of night?
Shh. Hey, not so loud. I'm watching.
Watching what?
My carrots.
Oh. For heaven's sake, Riley, why should anybody want to steal your carrots?
Well, I think somebody found out that I got a secret fertilizer for making vegetables grow very big. And they want to steal it.
Secret fertilizer?
Yes.
You mean that awful mixture you've been spreading around in the garden with that horrible odor?
Just a minute, Peg. To you, it's an awful mixture with a horrible odor. To me, it's my brainchild. There's nothing in my fertilizer but vitamins, rotten eggs, and stale fish.
Oh, Riley, honest.
Well, go ahead, laugh. They laughed at all the great scientists who were trying to benefit mankind. They laughed at Louis Pasteur when he gave microbes to humanity.
Well, come on in the house, Louis.
Well. All right, make fun. Great men are never appreciated by their wives. Someday I'll be famous. Whenever people see fertilizer, they'll think of me.
Well, you may be right. Now, come on in.
No, I'm watching for this carrot crook. And when I catch him, Hey, look, the prowler. There he is.
Where?
Over there in the garden, there in the shadows.
Oh, Riley. Well, it's only a rabbit.
A rabbit? Oh, well, I'll fix him. Where's a stick? I'll scare the daylights out of him.
Oh, Riley, it's late. Come on in.
Well, okay, okay. But you don't know rabbits. By tomorrow, there'll be more rabbits than I can shake a stick at. Did Babs get me some more stale fish from the market?
Well, I don't know. She's out the movies with Simon Vanderhopper.
Simon Vanderhopper? That sofa loafer? I told you I don't want that Simon taking my daughter to the movies.
Now, what's wrong with the movies?
I've been in them movies. I've seen what goes on with the younger generation in them balconies.
What if Simon does hold Babs' hand?
Holding hands is one thing. Doing it with a half Nelson is another.
Well, good night, Simon.
Good night, Dad.
Thanks for taking me to the movies.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for lending me the money.
Oh, it was really a fascinating picture.
Yes. Especially that scene where the orchestra plays Ravel's Bolero. Sitting next to you in the dark, listening to the passionate beat of the drums, brought out the primitive beast in me. Before I knew what I was doing, I ate 3 bags of lady fingers.
Simon, you better go before my father hears us and comes out.
Well, I'll go. But first, kiss me.
I will not.
Kiss me, woman. Let's live dangerously.
Simon, what's gotten into you?
That's the way I am. You don't know the real me. On the surface, I'm like a quiet lake. But I got a terrific undertow. I love you, Babs. I love you madly.
Simon, for heaven's sake, will you go? If my father catches you...
Gee, I don't understand why your father can't learn to like me. My father learned to like me. Maybe if I went in and had a man-to-man talk with him.
Maybe. But wait till after tomorrow. Daddy was in a bad mood tonight. He's in charge of an Easter party down at his lodge, and he's having a terrible time trying to think up clever stunts for the children.
Gee, he might change his attitude if I helped him.
Helped him? How? Have you got an idea?
Well, at the party, I could dress up like an Easter rabbit.
A rabbit? Simon, that's wonderful. The children would love a big rabbit.
Isn't it lucky I have buck teeth?
Well, come on, let's go tell my father.
No, he might not want to listen. Let's surprise him. I'll rent a big rabbit suit, and tomorrow night I'll put it on and sneak in through your garden. Somebody's gonna get a big surprise.
Yoo-hoo, Miss Riley. It's me, Waldo Benny.
Oh, hello, Waldo. How are you?
Oh, my sagging sacroiliac. Seems my dear wife got an anonymous Easter card, and she recognized my handwriting.
Oh, good. Well, what did you say on the card, Waldo?
It was a poem. Uh-huh. The little buds grow into flowers when Easter comes our way. And you, my darling, you grow too. You grow 5 pounds a day.
Waldo, now that was mean. No wonder your wife got sore.
Oh, she was furious. Yeah. And she took her revenge, too. Oh, she's cruel.
Well, what did she do?
She reported me to my scoutmaster.
Oh, that's tough, Waldo. Why did you ever marry your wife, anyway?
Well, you know how it is with us Boy Scouts. Yeah. We're supposed to help old ladies across the street. One day I did. When we got to the other side, she wouldn't let me go. Now, good night, Mr. Riley. It's getting late.
Yeah, I know, but I'm staying out here. I gotta watch my carrots. Last night, there was a little rabbit nibbling at them. If I ever lay my hands on that rabbit, my wife's coat will have a new mink collar.
Mr. Riley, are you still experimenting with your fertilizer?
Oh, yeah. I call it Riley Grow. It's gonna make my vegetables so big, I'll have to pull them out of the ground with a bulldozer. I'll make a fortune.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
What's the matter, Waldo?
Look, there's something moving out there in the garden.
Oh, it must be that rabbit.
See? In the dark there, over by the fence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all white then. Holy smoke!
Heavens to Betsy.
Jumping catfish.
Oh, my stars.
Waldo, do you see what I see?
Yes, I see it.
A rabbit, 5 feet tall.
My, he's coming towards us. Save me, Mr. Riley.
Don't be scared, Waldo. Don't be scared. I'll protect you. Stand in front of me.
Come closer.
Well, get away.
Shoo.
Get away.
It's all right. It's all right, Mr. Riley. You can stop now. It's gone. Stop.
Oh, he's gone. Oh. Waldo, I still can't believe it. Maybe we just imagined that rabbit.
Oh, no, we didn't. Look. There's his huge footprints. No, that rabbit was real enough.
But how can it be a rabbit over 5 feet tall? That's impossible. How could he grow so big with... Waldo.
Huh?
I got it. It's my fertilizer.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I used it on those carrots to make them grow big. And last night when I saw that rabbit, he was small. He was eating my carrots. And now, that's it, Waldo, that's it.
But it didn't make the carrots big. I don't understand it.
Do you understand radar or atoms or plutonium, uranium, and palladium? No, but they work.
Mr. Riley, you're right. Yeah. You've made a tremendous earth-shaking discovery. You're a great man.
Yeah. I can see the newspaper headline now. Ignoramus becomes genius.
Are you feeling better now, Simon?
Oh, I think so, Bab. I think I can walk now. Come on, let's get out of this neighborhood before your father catches me.
But I don't understand. Didn't Daddy like your idea?
I couldn't tell. He was too busy throwing rocks. And then that little boy he had with him. You know, the minute he saw me, he must hate me.
No, Simon. We're going back in there and explain to Daddy.
Oh, no, no. He'll kill me.
Simon Vanderhopper, I despise a coward. Now, come on.
Oh, all right. But not in this rabbit suit. I'll leave it here in my car. If I have to die for you, Babs, I'll die like a man, not like a rabbit.
Mr. Riley, I just can't get over it. You, a famous scientist.
Famous? I'll be notorious.
Just think. Someday your brain will be in Cornell University.
Yeah, in a bottle. I can hardly wait to see it. You know, it's amazing. Just think, Waldo, what this discovery means. One bite out of one of my carrots...
Oh, and oh, this... Mr. Wright.
Well, what's the matter, Waldo?
You've been eating those carrots, too?
Oh, yes. They're delicious, too.
But good heavens, don't you see? If the stuff works on rabbits, then...
Waldo, you mean I'm going to grow? No. No, no, it ain't possible.
In science, anything is possible.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, Waldo, what am I going to do if I grow?
Now, pull yourself together, Mr. Riley. Lots of people admire tall men.
But that rabbit grew 5 times its size. I'll be 30 feet high.
Now, don't be an alarmist. You probably won't be more than 15 feet high.
But I don't want to be 15 feet high. Where'll I live? My bedroom's too small. I'll have to sleep with my feet sticking out the window. The milkman's horse will lick them every...
Now. Keep calm, Mr. Riley.
Daddy, are you in the
kitchen? That's bad. Don't tell her about this. Not yet. Oh, my poor family. They always wanted me to be a big man. Now look.
Daddy, Simon's here. And...
Simon, I got enough trouble without that pet.
Now wait, Mr. Riley. I can explain.
Simon!
But Mr. Riley, give me a chance.
Simon! Get out of this house.
All right. But someday you'll learn to like me. You'll see. In time, I'll grow on you.
I don't want you growing on me. Right now, I'm growing on myself.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
Oh, Ken... More and more people are changing to Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube.
Of course, everyone's buying Prel for two reasons.
First, Prel brings out the natural radiance of your hair, leaves it far more radiant than old-fashioned soap shampoos. And after a Prel shampoo, your hair curls better, too. It's easier to set, easy to manage.
Second, Prel removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes. Doctor's examination proved it.
And Prel goes farther than any other known shampoo, cream or liquid, because it's concentrated for economy. You use less, get more lather.
So ask for the shampoo in the handy tube. Ask for...
P-R-E-L-L Prel shampoo. Leaves curls radiant, streaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L Prel shampoo.
Buy Prel shampoo. Back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, actually, the 5-foot rabbit that Riley saw in his vegetable garden was really his daughter's boyfriend, Simon, who dressed up in a rented rabbit costume. But poor Riley is certain that his own secret fertilizer, which he had put on his carrots, is responsible for raising this gigantic rabbit. Having eaten some of the same carrots himself, Riley now fears that he is about to grow into a giant. But his family has no inkling of what's going on.
Mother, isn't it time Daddy got up? He has to get down to his lodge and get ready for the Easter party.
Oh, let him sleep a little longer, Bab.
I don't think your father's well.
What's the matter?
Well, I don't know. It started last night at dinner. He wouldn't eat a bite. And he usually loves rabbit stew. And four times during the night, he got out of bed and measured himself in the mirror.
But why?
Well, he wouldn't tell me.
I hope he'll be all right for the Easter party.
Oh, I don't think it's anything serious. Now, you go wake up Junior, dear, and tell him to get dressed. Oh, did the tailor bring Junior's trousers?
Yes. Let's see, where'd I put them? Oh, yes, I left them on the chair in Daddy's bedroom. Shall I go in and get them?
Oh, no. No, let your father have another few minutes sleep. He needs it. Oh, I wish I knew what was worrying him.
Five feet, 7 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet. I can't stop growing. Now my head is hitting the ceiling. What'll I do? I'll knock my brains out.
Riley, wake up. Wake up, dear.
Huh?
It's time to get up, dear.
Oh, it's you, Peg. Oh, thank heaven it was only a dream.
Hurry up and get dressed. I'll get your breakfast ready.
Okay, I'll be dressed in a minute. Where's my pants?
Oh, here they are on a chair.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could go back to bed. No, I better get my pants on. That's funny. They're so tight. What's happening? No, it can't be. The pants won't pull up. They're too small. And I ain't even up to my wide part. It's happening. I know it. I'm getting too big for my britches. I'm growing, just like the rabbit. I'm getting bigger by the second. I feel it. My throat. It's swelling up. I need air. The window. Oh, this is terrible. My body keeps growing. What can I do with such a big body?
Oh, there, Riley. I brought you some lilies. Happy Easter.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Tell me, Riley, why are you leaning out the window in that odd fashion?
I'm breathing.
Breathing? Fine habit. Don't stop on my account.
Listen, Digger, I'm in trouble. Come in the house. Can you come in through this window?
It's rather high, but I'll drive.
Good, you made it.
It's a trick of the trade. You've heard of the fireman's leap?
Yeah.
This is the undertaker's vault. Good heavens, Riley, look at your trousers.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Digger, what would you say if I told you I suddenly begun to grow again? And soon I'll be 15 feet tall.
15 feet? That would upset certain plans I've made for you. I bought you a bathrobe for your birthday. It's only size 42.
Oh, it's awful, Digger. I'm like Frankenstein. I've created a monster. And I'm the monster.
That's absurd, Riley. You look the same to me. However, to make sure, I'll measure you. Lie down.
No. Measure me standing up.
Well, there's a first time for everything. Now, let's see. Just as I thought. You're still 5'11".
Are you sure, Digger? But these pants, look at them. They hardly... Wait a minute. What's this in my pocket? Marbles. When did I play marbles last? Oh. Digger. These are Junior's pants. And I thought I was growing. I guess my formula only makes rabbits grow. Yeah, that's it.
Rabbits, Riley? What rabbit?
Well, there was a big rabbit in my garden. I've been gardening, you see.
Gardening? Oh, I approve of that hobby. Recently, I was elected president of the UEPBTTSF.
UEPBTTSM?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Back to the Soil Movement. A lot of people are going back to the soil, and I'm here to help them.
Oh, gee, I sure feel better. Well, I'm going to enjoy my Easter holiday after all.
Ah, Easter is my favorite holiday. This morning I gathered my kiddies about me, and we colored a dozen eggs in a variety of gay, striking colors. Black, light black, ebony black, midnight black, and pitch black.
Well, did they come out okay?
When it comes to dying, I know my business.
But, Digger, a dozen eggs, all black?
All except one. My youngest son, Mossbank, insisted on a white egg. He's the black sheep of the family. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
So long, Digger. Watch your head going through the window. Oh, what a sweet guy. Always ready to give people a lift.
Riley, aren't you dressed? Oh, Riley, your pants.
My pants. Oh, my pants. Yeah, yeah, don't get frightened, Peg. I tore Junior's pants when I got into them because I was 15 feet tall.
You were 15 feet tall?
Yeah.
Dear, why don't you get back into bed? I'll call a doctor.
I don't need a doctor. I mean, I thought I was 15 feet tall.
Riley, dear, please get back into bed.
Bed? What's this? Oh, you think I'm crazy? Well, I got a good logical reason for thinking I was 15 feet tall.
Oh, you have?
Well, sure. Because the rabbit I saw in the garden was over 5 feet tall.
I see. The rabbit was 5 feet tall.
Please, Peg, stop feeling my forehead. I ain't crazy.
But you're talking so foolish.
I'm not. Oh, no wonder you think I'm nuts. You don't know why the rabbit is 5 feet tall.
Why, dear? Tell me.
On account of he's been eating my carrots that I grew with my secret formula. Makes rabbits grow 10 times their size, you see? And when... Peg, this is terrible. I didn't realize...
Now, Riley, please, control yourself.
Look what I've let loose in the world. Do you know what'll happen when 5-foot rabbits begin chasing each other all over Hollywood and Vine? It'll be the end of civilization.
Oh, now, Riley, listen. You didn't see a 5-foot rabbit. And even if you did, it's only one rabbit.
Yeah, now it's only one rabbit. But spring is in the air. Suppose that rabbit decides to get married.
Riley, please.
Pretty soon there'll be so many big rabbits, us humans will be driven to the woods. There'll be rabbits in the streets, rabbits in our homes. Rabbits will be going into restaurants and ordering Welsh Riley.
Riley, stop this crazy talk.
Let me go, Peg. I gotta trap that rabbit and keep him a bachelor.
But you couldn't have seen a 5-foot rabbit.
I tell you, I did see.
Now, you listen to me. What happened to you is what they call an optical illusion. You may have seen a rabbit in the garden, but it was only a little rabbit, and you thought...
Well, Babs, I got the rabbit suit on again. How do I look?
Simon, maybe we better forget about this whole thing.
Oh, no, it's a great idea. I'll be tops with your father after this. Where is dear old Daddy?
He's still dressing in his room. He'll be out any minute.
Boy, wait till he comes in. When he sees a big rabbit sitting here in his Morris chair, it'll knock his eyes out.
So you see, Riley, it was all your imagination now, wasn't it? Come on now, admit it.
Yeah, Peg, you're right. You convinced me. I imagined the whole thing. Boy, that Waldo Benny's stupid, isn't he?
Well, I'm glad that's cleared up. Now, look, dear, you relax while I get this room straight. The Sunday paper's in the living room in your Morris chair.
Okay, Dublin, I'll get it. Imagine thinking I saw a 5-foot rabbit. It's ridiculous. Only lunatics see 5-foot rabbits. Why, I ought to be... Yep! Hey,
He's in there.
Who?
The rabbit. He's sitting in my Morris chair.
The rabbit? Now, Riley, don't start.
Sam, I'm going to look again. Whoop! Now he's reading the Sunday paper.
This has gone far enough. Now, I'm going to prove to you once and for all.
No, no, Peg, don't go in there. He may be vicious.
Daddy, hurry up.
My bed. She's in there, helpless. I got to save her. Now I got you, you monster.
Daddy, stop.
Move into my house, will you? I'll show you.
Daddy,
Riley,
wait.
Mr. Riley, wait. Let go.
Help.
Shut up, you beast. You can't talk yourself out of your bed. It talks. The rabbit talks.
But, Mr. Riley, it's me, Simon.
Oh, Riley. Oh, Daddy, you thought the rabbit was real.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It ain't a real rabbit. It's a weasel.
Sure, it's me, Mr. Riley.
What a revolting development he is. Simon, get out of that costume, you faker.
But, Mr. Riley...
Take it off, or I'll rip it off.
There. It's off.
Simon! Get out of this house!
Yes, sir. I'm going. I know the way by heart.
And don't come back. No daughter of mine is going to go out with an imitation rabbit.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. A favorite with all the family. That's Prell Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. From Appleton, Wisconsin, Mrs. Rellis Brown writes,
my small son's a changed boy since I discovered Prell. Now he has no fear of broken glass or spilling, and he can't get enough of shampooing. My thanks for Prell.
Yes, families everywhere love Prell. It's safe, convenient, easy to use. And Prell removes unsightly dandruff quickly, leaves hair shining with radiance. Buy, try.
P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prell Shampoo.
Well, time to hand out these Easter eggs to the kids.
If you hadn't shown Simon out, Daddy, you wouldn't have had to dress up in that rabbit suit.
I don't need Simon. I got enough brains to be a rabbit. Well, better get started. Come on, kiddies. Your Uncle Bunny's got some lovely Easter eggs for you. Now, who's first? Here you are, little girl. Take your egg and, well, what's the matter, little girl? You afraid of Uncle Bunny? What are you staring at?
Oh, Mommy, look at the big funny ears on that rabbit.
Oh, is that so? Well, it so happens that these are my own ears.
Next week, you hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker.
Friends, Lava Soap is making a sensational offer. You can get 12 large-size gladiolus bulbs for only 25 cents in one Lava Soap box front. Make your garden a showplace. In each set of 12 large-size gladiolus bulbs are six beautiful varieties, such as Red Flaming Sword, Gorgeous Pink Picardy, and others, guaranteed to bloom this year or your money back. Ordinarily, they'd cost three times as much. Here's all you do. Simply mail 25 cents in one Lava Soap box front with your name and address to Lava Soap, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. To make it still easier, your dealer has convenient order blanks. Order several sets and have exquisite cut flowers for weeks. But don't delay. This offer, good everywhere in the United States except Montana, is made for a limited time only. Hurry, send tonight. Remember, mail 25 cents in coin and one Lava Soap box front with your name and address to Lava Soap, Cincinnati 1, Ohio.
This is Ken Niles reminding you that for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L. Prell Shampoo. And listen again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have more laughs at an Easter party with an egg hunt on the Mel Blanc Show. Mel Blanc was the voice of Bugs Bunny and many other cartoons, and he does some very funny voices in this sitcom. In this episode, he decides to promote his fix-it business in the Chamber of Commerce egg hunt by promising money he doesn't have as a prize. The Mel Blanc Show, Easter Egg Hunt, first broadcast April 8th, 1947 on CBS.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Mel Blanc Show, written by Mac Benoff, with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Alan Reed, Jill Walker, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mel Blanc Show, with Mel playing his new character, Zuki.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
A few days ago, the whole country was filled with a festive holiday spirit. 129,999,999 people had a great time. Only one person had a miserable day. And who was that one person? You guessed it, Mel Blanc. It all started with the annual Easter egg hunt in Mel Blanc's little town. It seems that the local merchants offered cash prizes to anyone who found an egg with their ad written on it, and Mel Blanc would... Well, let's start at the beginning. It was just an ordinary day, and young couples were discussing the weather. In the park, a couple was saying...
Oh, Dave, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, and it's about time I gave you a kiss.
And in another part of town could be heard...
Oh, Will, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, it's about time I gave you a kiss.
And in Mel Blanc's fix-it shop, where we find Mel and his girlfriend, Betty Colby, Betty is saying...
Oh, Mel, it's 2 weeks past spring.
Yes, and it's about time I stopped wearing my long winter underwear.
That was Mel Blanc in a romantic mood. But now we find Mel and Betty discussing a more serious topic.
Say, by the way, Mel, how's business?
Well, Betty, it started out terrible, and it's been falling off ever since. There just doesn't seem to be any more fix-it work in this town.
You mean you fixed everything so it can't be broken again?
No, I've broken everything so it can't be fixed again. Well, I'm in a sad way financially, Betty.
Well, have you tried getting a GI loan?
Yeah, but I can't find a GI who wants to give me a loan.
Stop being silly. Can't you get what you need at the bank?
Well, not anymore. Mr. Grimes, a banker, told me not to come back again.
Well, how can you get along without the bank?
Easy. I just fill my pen at the post office.
Gosh, Mel, you really are broke.
Betty, I'm so broke that yesterday when I weighed myself, the penny came back with a card saying, here, you need it more than we do.
Oh, Mel, stop being such a defeatist. If you only advertise the fix-it shop more, you'd do a lot better business. I'll bet you haven't even got an egg in the egg hunt.
Oh, yes, I have, Betty. It's marked Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop, and if anybody finds it, they get a prize.
Well, Blum's Candies is offering $25 for their egg, and my father's supermarket's offering $50 for his egg. What are you giving with your egg?
Bacon and a side order of potatoes. Either that or a dollar in cash.
Oh, $1. Now, no wonder you never get anywhere, and Father doesn't think anything of you.
Oh, hello, Betty.
Hello, Mel.
Father.
Hello, Mr. Colby.
Mel Blanc, you idiot. I asked you to fix my cash register. What have you done to it?
Well, gosh, Mr. Colby, I ran out of parts, so I substituted them with some from a jukebox I was fixing.
A jukebox? No wonder.
Why? What happened to the cash register?
Plenty. Every time I ring up a nickel, it plays How Are Things in Glockamore. Mel Blanc, you're a failure and a moron.
Oh, but Mr. Colby...
Believe me, I'm telling you this for your own good. Oh, I wish someone had taken the trouble to tell me how to become a fine, decent, upstanding citizen when I was young.
Well, gosh, Mr. Colby, maybe it isn't too late yet.
What? Why, you imbecile, you talk that way to me. Why, I'll bet the cigar I'm smoking costs more than you've made all week.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure of that, Mr. Colby. I wouldn't be too sure. How much did it cost?
Well, maybe I was too hasty. 10 cents.
Maybe I was too hasty. You win.
Just as I thought. And what, may I ask, are you offering to the one who finds your egg in the contest? A quarter?
No, one...
$1.
No, $100.
$100? Well, my son, if you can afford to offer $100, you must be going places.
Yeah, I wonder if I can make the next train to Mexico. I mean,
Well, I certainly would like to know where your egg is hidden, you nincom... come to see us anytime, Mel. Come, Betty. Let's go. Goodbye, future son-in-law.
Goodbye, future. Oh, what a fix I got myself into. $100. Where can I get that much money? Maybe I can go to Joe's pawn shop and talk to him about my watch. Nah, Joe won't give it back to me. I gotta do something.
Hello, Mel. How are you?
Oh, Professor Pochnik, my favorite teacher. You look peeved about something, Professor.
I am. I was sitting in the park and some kids were painting Easter eggs. Then I dozed off for a while.
What happened?
When I woke up, my nose was red, white, and blue. Mel, you don't look so good yourself. What's the matter?
Oh, Professor, I'm in terrible trouble. I need money.
Mel, my boy, I would give you the shirt off my back. And it would fit you, too, because it's your shirt.
Thanks, Potch.
You know me, Mel. Money never meant a thing to me. When I first married my wife, I never worried about money. If she asked for $5, I'm letting her have it. If she needed 10, I'm letting her have it. If she needed 100, I'm letting her have it.
Well, why were you so generous with your money?
I said no, she's letting me have it.
Professor, I need $100 to pay the person who finds my egg.
You too? The Chamber of Commerce talked me into entering my egg for $50. I haven't got the money either. What do we... Say, Mel, I got an idea.
What is it?
I'll find your egg and you'll find my egg. It's a regular egg and I. You're Fred McMurray and I'm Claudette Colbert.
Professor, that's a great idea. My egg is almost impossible to find. I hid it in a place no one would ever think of. The egg bin in Mr. Colby's supermarket. Who would ever have thought of that?
Me, that's where I hid mine. Well, now we got nothing to worry about.
Yep, you save $50 and I save $100. Oh, I'll get the phone. Hello, Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. You bend it, we mend it.
This is the mayor's office, Mr. Blanc. We just issued a new ruling.
Yes?
Any merchant offering a prize in the contest cannot take part in the egg hunt.
What? You mean I can't find Professor Pochnik's egg and he can't find mine?
That's right. Goodbye.
Professor, did you hear that?
Hear it? I've already passed out and come to. Mel, what are you going to do?
Professor, as soon as I come to, I'm going to pass out.
You Colgate tooth powder keeps smiling just bright. Use it each morning and use it each night. It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Want teeth that sparkle and dazzle, a breath that's fresh and sweet? Then try Colgate tooth powder, for the new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder cleans your teeth and sweetens your breath. Yes, this new all-purpose tooth powder produces an amazingly rich active foam that's marvelously effective. Every time you brush your teeth with this new all-purpose Colgate tooth powder, your whole mouth feels clean, sweet, fresh. Your teeth regain their natural sparkle. It's been proved in 7 cases out of 10 that Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And as for cleaning, you can depend on Colgate tooth powder revealing the natural brilliance of your teeth. Yes, Colgate tooth powder, the new all-purpose tooth powder, does everything you can expect or ask of a dentifrice. Try Colgate tooth powder today for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet.
Use Colgate tooth powder!
Now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and If This Isn't Love.
What we've got to tell you is entirely confidential at this moment. A secret, we've got a little secret. A secret kind of secret. We're aching for to shout it to every daffodil and tell the world about it. In fact, we think we will. If this isn't love, the whole world is crazy. If this isn't love, I'm daft as a daisy.
With moons all around and cows jumping over.
And cows are jumping all over. There's something amiss, and we'll eat our hats if this isn't love. We're feeling like an apple on top of William Tell.
With this, I cannot grapple.
Because you're so adorable. If this isn't love,
then winter is summer. Autumn,
spring, and fall. If this isn't love,
my heart needs a plumber.
And that isn't all. We're swinging on stars. We're riding on rainbows. We're busting with bliss. And we'll kiss your hand if this. If this isn't love.
To Mel Blanc and trouble again, as usual. To make a good impression on Mr. Colby, Mel offered $100 to anyone finding his egg in the annual egg hunt, and now Mel has got to get the money back in some way or pay $100, which he doesn't have. But now to add to Mel's troubles, along comes Hartley Benson, the town Beau Brummel.
Hello, Hartley. What do you know?
Only what every girl tells me. Hartley, you're wonderful. Hartley, you're beautiful. Hartley, you're adorable. Mel, boy, it'll break the heart of every girl who calls, but I'm taking myself to Niagara Falls.
Oh, Hartley, the way you rave, you'd think every woman was crazy about you.
Well, form your own conclusion, Mel, but the telephone company comes to me for their phone numbers. In fact, statistics show that last year, 200 women dialed the operator and said, I want a policeman. 400 women said, I want a fireman. And 28,749 said, I want Hartley Benson. I tell you, Mel, it's gotten so that I can't keep my receiver on the hook, and it's cramping my style.
Why?
Well, as soon as I'm out with a girl, 3 minutes, I say, deposit another 5 cents, please.
You must get plenty of slugs.
Mel, old boy, you'll need more than slugs to pay the $100 to the person finding your egg. Well, how can you afford so much? Look, old boy, look at the way you're dressed.
Hartley Benson, I'm dressed in the latest style. When I get a letter, it's addressed to Mel Blanc, Esquire.
Well, you may have that distinction, Mel, old boy, but when I get a letter, it's addressed to Hartley Benson, Woman's Home Companion. So you see, Mel, I'm practically a household necessity.
So is a mouse trap.
Now, that's getting very nasty. And to you I say, Now that I've blown my top, I must go. And I leave you with the two most beautiful words in the English language, Hartley Benson. Goodbye, old Mel. Nice old seeing you.
Ah, 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 ah.
character.
Bet if he could get his parents' consent, he'd marry himself. Oh, but that still doesn't solve the problem of how to get my egg out of Mr. Colby's egg bin.
Hello, Mel. Ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Hello, Mighty Potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga. Say, Mighty Potentate, I noticed the flag flying at half-mast outside your house. Are you commemorating some tragic event?
Oh, yes, Mel. My wedding anniversary.
Oh, too bad. I mean, congratulations. How long have you and your wife been married, Mighty Pot?
Yesterday. Yesterday, Mel, was the 20th round.
I tell you, Mel, I'd been better off if I'd married John L. Sullivan. John fought clean. You know, I'll never forget the day we were married. It was in 1929.
Well, that's the year of the big crash.
Yeah. Looked as though the whole thing fell on my wife's face. You know, Mel, I should have known there was something wrong at the ceremony. You know how on the back of every bridal auto it says, just married?
Yeah.
On the back of our car it said, condemned.
How come I wasn't invited to your anniversary party?
Well, Mel, I tell you, it was just for relatives and my wife's friends. Naturally, we had only relatives. What a party. When I carved the turkey, my wife stood next to me and she said, John, carve the wing for Cousin George. Now carve for Uncle Leah. Carve Tom. And carve me. Gad, what a temptation.
What part of the turkey did you finally carve for your wife?
Ha! I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that I've got no one to talk to.
Well, buck up, Mighty Potentate. You think you've got troubles. I've got a $100 egg in Colby's egg bin. How can I get it back without Colby recognizing me?
Well, that's easy, Mel. You're good at disguises. Make believe you're an out-of-town farmer. Buying some eggs, you'll get it back.
Say, that's a great idea. Thanks, Mighty Potentate.
Well, so long, Mel. I gotta be going now.
Oh, where are you going, Mighty Potentate?
Well, I can do one of two things. I can go to the movies and see my favorite brunette, or I can go home and look under the wig I'm married to. Well, Mel, I gotta move,
Now to get down to Colby's supermarket. A farmer. Wonder how I sound as a farmer.
Hello, Colby, old boy.
Hey, sounds just right. Oh, but Mr. Colby might not let me pick out the eggs I want. I know. I'll send Zuki over to distract his attention in some other part of the supermarket while I pick out my egg. Oh, Zuki! Zuki!
Happy Easter. Happy Easter. How long is it till Christmas?
Well, Zuki, what can I do for you?
Well, I want a bottle of meat, Elsie's best. And I also want some cheese.
Oh. What kind?
American cheddar pie. No. Make it Swiss.
Oh, how much?
Well, slice it until I tell you to stop.
Okay. You say when.
It will be. Stop already. You slice through all the cheese and two salamis. Hey, Mr. Colby, why are you hanging around the egg bin?
Well, to tell you the truth, Rookie, I've got my $50 egg hidden in that bin, and I'm not letting anybody get near it.
What?
Oh, excuse me, Rookie. I see another customer coming in. Pardon me. Well, may I help you, sir?
Howdy, Bob. They think the rain will hurt the alfalfa.
I take it you're a farmer.
Yep. I've been milking cows all my life. It's all I ever done, milk cows. Getting so I can't shake a man's hand without putting a pail under it. Oh, but I can't complain. Milking cows pays me a good salary.
Well, what do you make?
Pull down about 50 a week. Now, I think I'll take a dozen eggs.
Eggs?
Yeah.
Just a second. Why would a farmer buy eggs? Don't you have any chickens?
Oh, sure, sure. In fact, my chickens lay a lot of eggs. I put a radio on the chicken coop, and it made one chicken lay 50 eggs in one day.
A chicken laid 50 eggs in one day because of a radio?
Yep. She got so interested in one program, she dropped everything.
What do you want the eggs for?
Well, we use the eggs for hatching purposes. Got me a setting hen. Yeah, she was setting on some eggs when she took sick. And I had to sit on the eggs myself for a week.
What happened?
Have a cigar. Yeah, I'm also having a lot of trouble with my Rhode Island Red.
Trouble with your Rhode Island Red?
Yep, she's being investigated by Congress. Now I'll take my eggs.
All right. But I'll pick them out for you.
You'll pick them out for me. Well, don't bother. I'll be back.
What am I going to do now? I got it. I'm desperate. I'll hold him up. I'll take one of these bananas off the stand, wrap a handkerchief around it, and use it as my gun. And I'll put a handkerchief over my face, too. See, it's a good thing Mother taught me to be neat. Always carry two hankies. Well, here I go.
Stick him up, Colby. This is a holdup.
Oh, don't shoot, mister. Take my money, take my clothes, take my jewelry.
I want none of those.
Well, what do you want?
Your eggs.
My eggs?
Yeah, I steal them all the time. I'm an egg yank.
What?
You've heard of the James boys, Frank and Jesse? Well, I'm one of their brothers.
Well, how come I never heard of you?
I always stayed in the house.
Well, what's your name?
Home James.
This whole thing sounds highly ridiculous.
Now, careful now, Colby. I got you covered.
Oh, is that so? Give me that gun.
Be careful, Mr. Colby. You're bending it.
I'm bending it?
Yeah, this isn't really a gun. It's one of your bananas.
Oh, Mel Blanc, I'll break every bone in your body.
But, Mel, how did you get out of paying $100 for your egg?
Well, you see, Betty, when your father found out it was me, he got so excited he dropped all the eggs.
Well, then the egg hunt didn't cost you a penny.
Well, not exactly, Betty. It cost me 10 cents.
10 cents?
Yeah, your father made me pay for the banana.
Mel Blanc will be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
A breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, can lose you friends and alienate people. So ask yourself if you could have this social handicap. Best thing to do is to guard against it. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
This is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening, good night, and that's all, folks.
This is Bud Houston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Remember, Mel Blanc every Tuesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.